Hello, Ben.
We can hear you. It's not marshable.
No, it's not there, but we're getting quite well. I don't know. Are you calling this?
Yes?
I'm
sure I shouldn't be in.
Oh, yes, you're
there. Right
there.
Some considerable time since last time I was able to speak.
Yes,
I was. This is
Lodge, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Very nice, you've come through.
I'm the happiest thing is to be able to come. Only for a few minutes.
Must say,
it's such a long time since last I spoke, but I'm rather out of the habit.
Yes, well, we're very glad if you'll give us a talk about something.
Tremendously interested, of course, in the tremendous advances that have been made on your side, particularly
yes,
in so many different fields.
Oh, yes.
And they are, and have been, for a very long time, working on this side,
yes,
on a method of communication between hard work and loss that will be accepted eventually, I'm sure, scientifically. We're hoping eventually to be able to make communication in such a way from a scientific aspect no one could possibly deny the authenticity and reality of it. Whether we shall completely ever do away with mediums as such, I think somewhere the human element obviously must be and cannot be done without. I think there must be this human element, even though we may produce scientific instruments that will make possible communication between the two worlds. We should never quite, I'm sure, be able to do that. We help in some capacity and we come. The only thing is that we're not obviously in the same sense or form as is now used in Russia. There seems to be a great deal of interest in this subject, although it's mostly on a scientific aspect. Certain scientists are very interested in communication and are already experimenting on certain lines. I think it may well be from Russia that we shall have this first indication of very scientific communication with the aid of instruments.
That's very interesting.
So little is understood even now about our world and communication. And mediumship by its very nature must be a very fluctuating thing. And we're subject, of course, to all sorts of conditions far beyond your comprehension. But there, mediumship, good mediumship, still there. Indeed, one might say that it's by no means as common as it was in my earthly time. Then we seem to have a variety of mediums of all types, and particularly very powerful physical mediums, which was a great asset and enabled us to conduct experiments and satisfactorily prove survival as far as I personally was concerned, the medium. Today the mediumship seems to be more on a mental level, This is all right in his way. But he doesn't think himself so well, so easily to scientific investigation. But there is a new
Yes, we can hear you quite well. Come along, we can hear you. Very interesting, you know.
Yes.
You can carry on.
The tremendous progress that has been made since my time scientifically. Of course, there are certain aspects of it that distress one. But many other things that have already been discovered, and other things yet to be brought into light, if they could be yours as we should in favor, you'll be yours for the benefit of man. They'll prove a tremendous blessing. But of course, as you can well imagine, my main interest is very in the scientific aspect of this whole subject. Although I speak in this fashion to you through the agency of an instrument or medium, I look forward so much to a time when it may be possible, in fact we are sure it will be possible, by the process of the scientific mechanism machinery, be able to tune in such a way to higher rate of vibration far beyond the human ear, as you understand it, on a rate so unique in itself that it will have to be brought down, be transformed, be transferred, as it will, into an audible sound and speech engagement. After all, this is exactly what, in a sense, one does when one communicates in this particular fashion. It's a transmission of one's thought into sound, being reproduced by breaking the atmosphere, creating sound, or perhaps in a sense one might almost say recreating it. But the point is that we have a method which we are now working on, which we feel we shall be able to reproduce through instruments, scientific instruments, sounds, the voices of people long since, as the world calls it, dead. The mastery of this method is not yet complete. There are those who, for various very good reasons perhaps, are not prepared to, at this stage, come forward with any particular information. And I think we may say with absolute assurance that it is not very far off before Russia, certain scientists in Russia, while experimenting on certain lines, will stumble rather than perhaps from the point of view of deliberate seeking. But in seeking something else, they will stumble across this method which we are trying to help them with. Their idea, of course, is to produce certain instruments to have communication on certain wavelengths, on vibration rates, with certain, if possible, spheres. Already, to some extent, has been successful. They have been receiving pulsation, they've been receiving certain sounds which are outside, long way outside the range of Earth itself. But we know that accidentally rather than intentionally, because they do not know of our helplessness, that they will stumble, they will be receiving messages which we are sending out, which will be transmitted in a long period, which will be brought into sound on earth. But this is something I don't feel at the moment one can go into too deep there. America, too, is on similar lines. Let me think and think. I know they're not so far advanced in this. This anxiety, this desire to discover more about this space, to discover what the various planets are like, what they consist of, what the conditions would be, who should have been there, and so on. They're not, of course, interested. Indeed, they're not even aware of the possibility of man who once lived on Earth living in some spheres in the atmosphere communicating. They are more concerned with worlds which they have been aware of for some time, which are greatly coming closer and closer by the help of science. They're being brought into a great reality. But they really discover, much to their surprise, worlds of human beings who once inhabited Earth and are still continuing to live in a higher field of activity. Because it will be mind reaching out, in other words, it will be thought forces reaching out to man, which will be picked up. This is something I'm not anticipating or expecting, but we are taking full advantage of what they are doing on your side scientifically, that we can use it to some extent to prove our identity, to prove our reality, to prove that we truly do exist, that there is a world after death, physical death, in which millions of servants of all nationalities are still existing and developing and evolving and have a greater intelligence and a greater response to life. This is the living reality which I see, which we are hoping to eventually, as I've already said, scientifically prove to those in your world who are at the moment of aware of what is going on, but who will be surprised at certain things that will happen. Then they will at first no doubt think that there are in communication with intelligences from other planets, but it will be very clear to them that the intelligence is of the individuals and so on who are trying desperately from this side to communicate. It will be a tremendous revelation, and we hope that it will eventually bring a better understanding among the people of Earth. It will see much of the futility of the conditions which have been created through their ignorance and indeed through their intolerance. And we are very distressed, of course, when we look into your world and see the terrible conditions which have arisen through man's intolerance and foolishness. And we are anxiously hoping to prevent catastrophe, and we feel that if we can break from and do this, in this scientific world which I see, it will deter man from getting to the brink of the abyss. And we are very much concerned when we see your prison world, the terrible, terrible state which man has allowed himself to get into. Science, properly used, properly applied, is a blessing to man. much that is given to man through science, good mean for man, a better way of life, and a much happier one. But there are the limited few who see it often as a weapon which can be used in defense, as they say, of war. And this is, of course, the appalling fact that instead of being used for man's good, is often used for man's destruction. We have seen it in the past. We want to avoid it in the future. We who come from this side, particularly those of us who come with an idea of being of service, of being of real value and help to your brother, are distressed and appalled, of course, when we see the state and condition of the world. We are concerned with proving if we can, and I'm sure we can, eventually in this scientific way, which I try to give you some idea, but it will be, it must be, the time is not far distant. Then there will be such a scientific aspect of communication. There will be no doubts, and it will be universally accepted. And then, perhaps, we shall see the true beginning of the brotherhood of man. We shall see that the old barriers knocked down, and we shall see that man has realized, perhaps the very first time, how vital and necessary it is for him to band together and break down the barriers that separate, the barriers of creed, barriers of religion and politics. These barriers of man have built up over centuries of time. We are hoping and praying that it may not be too long before the first fruits of our labor will become apparent. But you will be hearing, and I make this as a different prophecy, you will be hearing very soon, I can show certain things which will give you some idea of knowledge of that of which I try to convey. Certainly there will be the beginnings of this breakthrough. It's not too far off, particularly in Russia, where science is really progressed. And so you notice to us the most amazing thing. Russia, which was only less than 50 years ago, or 50 years ago, was one of the most, if not the most backward nation in the world, in which there was no opportunity for the people whatsoever to progress, have come down to become the really scientifically leading nation in the world, have become a taught knit nation. I know there are many aspects which one might condemn and might not yet condemn, but scientifically I suppose I must speak purely from that aspect, but the amazing technical scientific advancement has been made by these people who 50 years ago could neither read nor write, had no schooling, no opportunity. It to me is the most extraordinary thing. If they can make this advance, then they have done roughly 50 years. What they will achieve and may achieve in the next 25 alone is fantastic. And one has to say that it is from Russia, from the scientific point of view, that one may expect to see these advances, although I don't think America should be far behind, but I feel from the point of view of scientific communication between our world and ours, it is in Russia that we should see the first signs. Seems to be more advanced there. We certainly are working with certain scientists in the hope of producing something very definite in the very near future. Certain evidence published, as I said, that eventually will be brought into light. I don't think it's something that we want to hold back because it would be of no value in the material sense. It's purely something of the mind. The Russians for a long time have been piercing the veil. They have been experimenting scientifically with thought force and power of thought of what it can do, what it can achieve. They've been very active on a mental plane, on a mental level, very, very advanced indeed. You will see this, I tell you this very shortly. You will see. beginning of this. Here then, I'm very interested in what future things are doing. I know there are difficulties bound to be limitations of certain kind, but I know that you do madness, and I think you're very fortunate in as much that you have got this mediumship that knows as much as one may admire it. Good mediumship, which is there. We are looking forward to a scientific breakthrough. This is something I'm most anxious about, and I'm most concerned. Well, I don't think I can stay.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Well, could you not? I want to ask you something there, but when these clients told us, are they true or not true? Well, they do a couple of things.
Of course, are the parents who are endeavoring to make contact or are curious or interested in your world, as the same as your world, or scientists, certain scientists and people, who are just another planet. Of course, they do exist. And of course, there's a lot of nonsense and bad jobs and a lot of things in which don't apply. But of course, there are entities, souls who are trying to break through in a scientific way from other planets into your world, and who are in a position that I would say, in some sense, is more advanced. And they are trying to make contact in their own way. But I think I can say with absolute truth that, of course, they are very apprehensive. You see, you must not think that some of the parents who are intending to communicate, at least are interested in your world, are not unaware of the mentality of the mass. You see, you have got to accept the fact that there's any reason for them to be suspicious of the motives of the people for that. Who for generations have lived by war and who have, for whatever advanced their scientific beliefs, any of the scientific advances materially have been made have been used for destruction and for good. You see, then there is apprehension on certain planets where there is a realization of things around. And because of the attitude of mind, you see, you cannot avoid the mass mind. Which generates in your world, which pierces the etheric conditions around your world. If you could see the etheric vibration of the conditions around your world, you'd understand and realize why there must be apprehension on various spheres and planets, even when there's things who come to communicate. We are very conscious of this very strong, powerful etheric force around your world, which is pushed out constantly by millions and millions of minds, of course, which in themselves are not good. They're very heavy, they're concerned with terrorism to such a degree, and there's so much fear. There is a tremendous force of which you know nothing, which is around your mind, which makes it very difficult for communication, apart from anything else. And it is an amazing thing that you do receive the communications that you do. Because if you could see, as I see, and many of us are aware, the conditions around your life are appalling. This is brought about by man himself, by the very thoughts that he generates all the time. There's a terrible wish to us, I suppose you could say, it's like a kind of fog. It's because it's a terrible atmosphere around your world. The whole of your world is living in fear. All the time you're living in this world at the edge of the precipice. You never quite know what the next day is going to bring forth. You've had certain indications recently of what can happen accidentally. But my goodness me, anything that people must realize at all the time, every second of their living moment, you might say, is fraught with danger. You have so much power of destruction in your world of the prison moment, already to be set off for the moment's notice. And I don't think humanity realizes what it has done to itself. It's built up a tremendous stockpile of force and power of destruction. The whole world is full of fear and intolerance. the mother of man has been pushed into the background. The churches do nothing. They side with governments. They side with force. They pretend to be pacifistic, and yet at the same time, apart from pacifistic, they're supposed to follow Christ. The man of God, the Prince of Peace, man who had nowhere to lay his head. And yet all the time they deny him of their very thoughts and their actions by supporting these things. Why doesn't the church come out as it should do in a vast body of power and strength and denounce this horror which man has built, this terrible condition under which we live, this intolerable situation which man has brought upon himself through fear?
Oh, the mirror or something?
It's peaceful, but I don't
know. Oh, but it's a little flying saucer again. People who have seen them, they say they can feel a terrific spiritual feeling when they're near them. It's a concern.
Well, of course, I think that's perfectly true that they would and they must, because the motives and the desires of the souls who are trying to link up with your world, whatever planet or sphere they may come, is for good. They are concerned, or every individual of this soul is concerned with the welfare of man, for the good of man. But you see, we all see the dangers. We see how you are all the time preparing. In every sense, it's not only physical, it's mental too. You see, the whole atmosphere in your world, to us, is appalling. Man has created so much havoc in the past. Now he has weapons which can flake without. There could be nothing left. You only need a few to be set off. And you had an indication recently of this Spanish business.
Mm.
Well, my gosh, the ammunition proved to people the terrible danger, even by a sheer accident, under which you exist today. Mm. To me it is frightening, to me it is appalling, to me it is something which I find almost unbelievable, that people with intelligence and reason and power, particularly those who profess to have spiritual beliefs and spiritual desires, can allow themselves or sit back and do nothing. To me it is an extraordinary state of affairs, but I'm afraid I can't stand. May God bless you, I must go.
Well, thank you so much for coming through. Thank you very much.
Bye bye. Bye bye. Bye bye.
Thank you, Nicky. How are you, Dad?
I'm sure not up, I thought you said. I think you sold it back here,
Thank you, Becky.